Right? The fact is that if the Imam comes there, you see that is where it is going to happen in that time. Right? So now, when the Imam comes at that time, when the Imam will come at that time, now you see, he will appear in Makkah, and from there, he will go towards Medina. He will go towards Medina, and soon thereafter, and I'm just describing his route, I'll explain what will happen all the way soon. From Makkah to Medina he will go. From Medina, then he will go to Baytul Muqaddas. Right? To Jerusalem. And after his work there, then he will go to Kufa, which will be the headquarter, the capital of his government. He will go to Kufa. Right? So now this is the route of the Imam. Right? I'm explaining this. So you have that in mind. And I'll explain this. Now in that time there are three armies, I said. Three armies that are there. The first army will be, it's known in the hadith as the army of Sufyani. The army of Sufyani. As I said, right? You need to keep your ideas to your own minds so that you can fit it. Because a lot of times what you're thinking might not be the answer. Right? It is said in the hadith that Sufyani will be an army that is apparently made up of Muslims. It's made up of Muslims, but it will have the support of Kufr. It'll have the support of Kufr and it'll have the support of infidels. They'll be behind it. Right? The army of this is going to be, they said it is his base will be Sham. Sham is actually not the Sham of nowadays today. Right? Because in those days Sham was a larger area that included Lebanon, Jordan, all these places and Palestine. Right, and the base of Sufyani army would be there. Right? Base of the Sufyani army would be there. And I want you to understand this, right? I'm just explaining this. There's a lot to explain right now. Right? You know, so I just want to go through this so you understand it one by one. His base, the leader's name is also mentioned. Right? His name is Abdullah ibn Ahmar. Right is the leader's name, and obviously the names that are mentioned in hadith don't have to be the exact names. Right, these names are mentioned so that you know we can look into these names and look into the character of these people. Right, because you know, for example, right now, right, a lot of people think that Abdullah ibn Ahmad is a literal name. And the leader of the Ba'ath party in Syria, his name is Abdullah ibn Ahmar. They say that, oh, you know, he is Sufyani. But it's not so simple like that, you know. This Sufyani army, they will be, you know, like for example, they will be based in Sham when the Imam will come. Right? And when the Imam will come, the army of Sufyan, they would know beforehand that the Imam is coming. A lot of times it does happen that, for example, Namrud knew beforehand that Nuh was coming. Fir'aun knew beforehand that Musa is coming.
Yes.
Right? The Jews and Yahud knew before when the Prophet is coming, that the last messenger is coming. They knew that. Yes. Beforehand. They knew it. Just like that, the army of Sufyan would know beforehand that the last Imam is coming. And they would be prepared for him. And they would be in the area, they would be there just for waiting for him. And because of that, they would be supported by the Kufr. Right? They would be helped by the Kufr because they are there to destroy the Imam. That's their only purpose. That will be their only purpose, is that to destroy the Imam. Now, when the Imam will come and the Imam will appear and declare himself, then they would be there. Sufyan would send a part of his army. He would send a part of his army to attack the Imam. Now, here is where you see that, for example, for those people who say the Imam will come in Medina, we have a riwayat that says that because this army is going to come towards him, Imam will flee Medina. He will flee Medina and the army of Sufyan will come and they will kill the Shias and the believers who supported the Imam in Medina, in Medina. So the first people to give sacrifice for the Imam will be the Shias of Medina. They will be the first one to give the sacrifice for the Imam. And they will be killed. And the Imam, it is said in the words of Hadith, will flee from there. Like how, you know, the way it's described, the word that's used is khayafain, right? Like for example, the way Musa, he fled from Egypt. He was afraid and looking back to see if he's being followed. Just like that, the Imam will flee. And he would make his way to Makkah. Now when he gets there, obviously he will make his call. And you see that the 313 will come. The first call, the 313, that will be the first semblance of an army. And even when these 313 will come, they won't know who the Imam is. I mean, they'll be there and they'll be looking around and say, okay, who's the Imam? Who's the Imam? They'll asking each other, are you the Imam? No, I'm not the Imam. Are you the Imam? No, I'm not the Imam. They'll be looking at each other and they'll be saying where the Imam is, and then they will know that the Imam will have to introduce himself. And hence it's at that time when the Imam will introduce himself and say that I am the Imam. And they will ask for them proof, and he will prove it, and so they will accept him right there. And that too, not that much proof, because apparently that these 313 will have enough ma'rifat and recognition and knowledge of the Imam that they won't need that much proof. They will know that he is the Imam. And so when this happens, now there will be another army. Right? And this will be a smaller army. But in the words of Hadith, it said that these people will be the strongest on Sirat al-Mustaqim. In the Hadith, they have been praised a lot. They'll be the strongest on the path of truth and in their love for truth. They will be the strongest. And this in the words of Hadith has been known as Yamani or Yamani. Yamani or Yamani. And so a lot of times people were looking at Yemen and saying, okay, this will be Yemen and this and that and all these things. But what they didn't understand, and everyone's looking there and they're fooled by that. What they didn't understand, that actually our ulama have said that this is not actually Yamani, it means Yamini or Yamani, meaning of the right hand. It will be on the right hand. So instead of looking to the north of Makkah, they're looking to the south of Makkah. So now you see where that army is coming from. It is said it's a smaller group of people, but they will be so strong on the truth. They'll be so strong on the truth that they will be the first army to join the Imam. The first army to join the Imam in Makkah will be this army that's going to come, which is of the right hand and it's on Sirat-e-Mustaqim and so forward, known as Yamani. And that army will join the Imam. When that army joins the Imam, that is when the Imam will actually have soldiers. He will have an army now. He will have an army, and now he will go to, you know, he will come face to face with the army that Sufyani had sent. Now the issue is this, when Sufyani is going to send the army, you know where he is, And he, his army will come all the way to Makkah. And you see that no one in the middle is going to stop. There are many nations and countries in the middle. No one in the middle is going to stop him. So what that means, that he will have such a power over all these countries that they will just let him go. You see, they'll just let him go. You know, go, hurry up, he's over there, you know. You know, he's over there. So now what happened is that they will have such a thing. Again, as I said, right? These are Muslims. This is an army of Muslims. Apparent Muslims, not real Muslims, but Muslims, you know, who have their own Islam, and they will just be told to go there, free hand, go there. Because they will be, you know, and a part of the army is going to come there. When that army comes, when that army comes, now you see that the Imam will go to battle with that army, with the soldiers and the army that he has, from the army of Yemeni. He's going to go to that war. And he will defeat the army of Sufyan. He will defeat the army of Sufyan, but after a lot of bloodshed. A lot of bloodshed will happen and he will defeat them. And when he defeats them, now the job of the Imam, now he is going to go. When Sufyan is going to hear that his army, because at that time it is said in the riwayat that two messengers, after the battle is over, two messengers are going to go. One to Sufyan, one to the Imam. The one who goes to Sufyan obviously will inform him that, listen, your army has been destroyed. Right? And the one who will go to the Imam and say that your army has won. And when that will be the case, so now you see that this army is going to come. And before that war took place, another there's another riwayat also that came, that the first army that will come from Sufyan, it will not be annihilated by the Imam. It will not be annihilated by the Imam. This is the second war I'm talking about. The first army that will come, that when it comes, this will be around the time of Ashura. And it said that the Imam is going to do the Amal of the night of Ashura. He will do the Amal of the night of Ashura, and he is going to make dua to Allah. Because the army is there, and the army of Yemeni has not reached him yet. He is all alone. When that will happen, it is said that in the desert of Baida, or a place called Baida, that whole army is going to sink into the ground. This will be the first miraculous help that Allah is going to give to the Imam. They'll be drowned in the sand. They'll just go into the sand and they'll be dead. When the Imam will hear about that, now the army of Yemen will come, and the army of Sufyan is going to now walk towards the Imam with all their power. Now you see, these two armies are going to come face to face. Now the third army. The third army is a large army. It is a very powerful army. And it is said that this army will be known as Khurasani. This army will be known as Khurasani, the army of Khurasan. Right? The leader, the general of the army, his name is going to be Shu'aib ibn Sa'd. He is going to be the general of that army. Not the leader, the general of the army. He is going to come there, and when the army will come, now the words of hadith about this army is this, that this, it is said that this army will be large, will be very strong army, and the army of Sufyan would threaten this army many times, but will never go to war with them because they will be afraid of them. You see, so they are going to threaten them and warn them and this and that, and we'll do this to you, we'll do that to you, but they'll never go to war with them. Right? So this is going to be a dormant army that's not in war at all. So now when the Imam will come, this army also is going to come towards the Imam. This army is also going to come towards the Imam. Now, just imagine, the time is that the Imam is going to be on this side. He's going to face the army of Sufyan, which is held by Kufr. And now, the war is going to start, but before the war starts, now a third army comes in the picture. A third army comes in the picture, and this is a bigger army. And they will decide the scales. They will decide the scales, and it is at that time, you see, that the leader of that army will come to the Imam, ask for the proof of his imamate. Imam will show his proofs, and he will submit his army to the Imam. This will be the greatest turning point at that time for the Imam. Because when that army joins the Imam, now the Imam has an upper hand on the army of Sufyan. Now he has a complete army under his hand. A trained army under his hand. And then when he goes to war with Sufyan's army, then it will be annihilated. It will be killed. When that will be killed, now the Imam will make his way to Baytul Muqaddas. And the rest, the Sufyan is dead now, he's finished. Now the kufr that was backing the army of Sufyan, they are going to be, like for example, upset. And there, all of them will get together, meaning the world of kufr will join hands, and all the allies will come to Jerusalem. The allies, all of them will be allied with one another, and they'll come to Jerusalem. When they'll come to Jerusalem, Imam is going there now. Imam is on his way there to fight them. And now you see, that is a big army that they have. And it is said that, because in the words of riwayat, it is said that now the army that's going to come to fight the Imam, most of the army will be Christians. Most of that army would be Christians. They would come to fight him, and they will be in Jerusalem waiting for him. The Imam is on his way now. So now, you see again, the Imam's army is not as big now. Now all of them have got together. It's like Ahzab. In the war of Ahzab, if you remember, right, you know, when all the infidels, they came to fight the Prophet in the Battle of Khandaq. It is the same way. All of them are aligned now. They're all together now. And they come to fight the Imam. Imam is on his way. Now something happens that turns the table again. At that time, Hazrat Isa or Jesus will descend. He will descend before Fajr prayer. And he will greet the Imam, and the Imam will lead the prayer, and he will pray behind him. And this is written very clearly, and with emphasis, he will pray behind him. And this event of the descent of Isa is going to cause uproar throughout the world. It's going to cause an uproar throughout the world.
Oh yeah.
You know, a lot of people would be like, you know, it's not as if, for example, they would be like looking at it, it's not something unique. They will know that this is Isa. They will know. His descent will be such that they will know that this is Isa. He has come. They would know that. And this will be the first test on the Christians. They will have three tests. This will be the first test of the Christians when Isa will come, whether they will accept it or not. This will be the first test. Now when Isa will come, right? And now I'll just give you a background why. I'll give you a background why. Because what happens is that, again, this has been explained in the Hadith, right? That the history of it is that when Isa will come, or about Isa, in their own books, it has been written. You know, because when we look at the Christians and us, there are certain similarities between us, between Christians and Muslims. The first thing that we agree on is that Jesus is going to come back. The first thing that we agree on is that Jesus is going to come back. The second thing we agree on, both Christians and Muslims, meaning us, the second thing we agree on is that Jesus will win. But the question is, who is he going to win against? You see, this is the issue. What happened is that the Christian world will be under the leadership of kufr. They'll say that the Christians will be led by kafirs, by infidels. And those infidels will tell them, will tell the Christians that Jesus is coming. They say, amen, hallelujah. Jesus will win, hallelujah. And these people in the Middle East, these Muslims, they are the people Jesus will fight against. You see? And they say, oh, these are the people. Okay, so now they will get the Christians on their side by saying that the Muslims are against Jesus. They will get them against them by saying that the Muslims are against Jesus. And so they will all come there. Now when Jesus will come on the Muslim side, now they'll be confused. They'll be like, what's he doing there? So at that time, the leaders, meaning the kuffar, who are leading the Christians, will say that, no, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Don't listen, that's not him. And it's at this point that they will be really confused, because they will see the signs of Jesus, they will know that this is him, they will be really confused. And when that will happen, now you see that Jesus will come and announce to them. He will announce to them that, I am Jesus. And this is the liar that you are believing. So, in other words, Christians believe we are the Antichrist, while the system that is ruling over them is the true Antichrist. Now I want to give you some thinking that they give, my friends, understand this. They claim that the system that this country is built on is then the principles of what? Judeo-Christianity. Why are they saying that? Because they want them to be on their side. The ones who are leading them are kuffar. They don't believe in Christianity. They don't believe in Jesus. But they know that the masses do. That's why they're deceiving them to say that it's the Muslims who are the Antichrist. It's the Muslims who are the Antichrist. So now when Jesus will come on the Muslim side, now the Christians will be confused. And when he will call them, now they'll get more confused. And there won't be a war. There won't be a war because the Christians will believe Jesus. The Christians will believe Jesus. They lay down their arms and they'll fight against the kafirs. They'll turn against the kafirs. And kufr will start to fall. When kufr will start to fall, now all the imam will do is just go from one country to another, establishing the flag of Islam. As we have in the hadith that we see Rasulullah had said that there it is imminent that one of my son will come and he will establish Islam. He will establish Islam throughout the world. And they asked him, but what if it's too late? He said, if it's too late, Allah will extend the last day so that that happens and the whole world is under the rule of Islam. And Jesus will bring the Christians and say that this is the Imam, follow him. And they will now be under the flag of the Imam. My friends, just I want you to now understand, one Imam we're waiting for. And one Imam is going to do so much. He's going to take over the whole world. Imagine how much responsibility Allah has put on the Imam. I mean, all the Anbiya, they came, I mean, they couldn't make their village into Muslims. The only people who had, that we know of, who had rule was one, Sulaiman for a little time, and our Prophet for a little time. Imagine this. Allah is asking this Imam to now take over the world, fight all the kufr and the superpowers with all their nukes, fight all of them alone. Right? And Ya Allah, that is too much for one man to handle. Just imagine that. Just one person, can he do that? And I just want now, because this is the night of his birth, and just want you to understand who the Imam is. Right? One of the things about this night, Laylatul Qadr, is that it is said that be awake this night, make dua this night, and all your sins will be forgiven. This is the night of istighfar. You do istighfar on this night, Allah promises He will forgive your sins. Give you a clean slate. That's it. Do this. And I just want you to see, you know, istighfar. Right? You know, when we do istighfar, because we sin. But sins is not the only reason for istighfar. Istighfar is done for other reasons. You know, Allah, He says in Surah An-Nuh, listen to this. He says, you know, when Nuh, He tells His people, do istighfar, Allah is going to forgive you. Right? He says, do istighfar, Allah is going to forgive you. And if you do istighfar, what will happen? He says, yursilu as-samaa'a alaykum midrara. He said that Allah will send rains upon you. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. He will aid you with wealth and with children. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ. And He will make for you gardens. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. He will make for you streams of rivers. So if you do istighfar, five things happen from istighfar. Five things, my friends, understand this. You do istighfar, five things happen. What are those things? He says it will rain. One. Number two, right? Allah will help you, or Allah will give you wealth. Number three, Allah will give you children. Number four, Allah will make your crops and land grow. Number five, Allah will make the streams flow, the rivers flow. Five things Allah will give you if you do istighfar. Right? A man came to Imam Ali. Abdullah ibn Abbas was there. And this was in the Battle of Siffin, one of the nights when Imam Ali was in his tent. A man came to him and said, listen, I can't have children, what should I do? Imam said, do istighfar. Man said, I'm poor, what should I do? Another man came, I said, I'm poor, what should I do? He said, do istighfar. He said, you know, the land, you know, another man came, the land we come from, there's no rain, there's drought, what should I do? He said, do istighfar. Five men came with five different problems, and every time Imam Ali said istighfar. Abdullah ibn Abbas, you know, who was, you know, in the world of Islam, right, the ustad of the Quran and the teacher of the Quran, you know, asked the Imam that, you know, Imam, what's this? You know, I mean, five different people but came from five different diseases, and you are saying one prescription. Tylenol for everything. You know? I mean, what kind of prescription, what kind of medicine is this that you're giving? Istighfar. He says, don't you see how Allah says in Surah An-Nuh? And he read these five ayahs. He says that, yursilu as-samaa'a alaykum midrara, wa yumdidkum bi-amwalin wa baneen. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. He says five things Allah gives if you do istighfar. So don't you see Allah Himself is saying this? Right? So you see istighfar is for all these things. Right? So in other words, my friends, let me tell you. The rivers are flowing because of istighfar. Children are being born because of istighfar. Allah is giving rizq because of istighfar. Allah is making the earth grow because of istighfar. Istighfar is responsible for this. Just this. So I'm just mentioning these things to you, and I want to relate these two things. The Imam and istighfar. Right? These two things. I brought you to who the Imam is, and I brought you to what istighfar is. Now understand this. You know, how many sins do we do nowadays? Is there anyone who can say, I don't sin? I'm not asking you to say that you do. Right? That would be a sin itself, right? That would be a sin itself to say, I sin, you know? No. Fact is that, you know, no one can say, I don't sin. No one can claim that, right? Everywhere in the world, every time you sin, you know, Allah's azab comes. Allah's azab comes, you know, azab of Allah comes when you sin, my friend, every time, right? Now pay attention to this, right? Look at the sins that are happening in the world today. The sins that are happening in the world today. How many of these sins are happening and in what amount? More than ever before. And when you look back in history, you see, for each one of these sins, Allah has destroyed a nation. You see, in past, we see that for one sin of homosexuality, Allah destroyed a nation. Now you see, it's rampant everywhere, it's advertised, and children are encouraged to do it. Right? One nation was destroyed because they used to cheat in their balance when they used to sell things. Now everyone is cheating. Right? Everyone is cheating. And then, you see, no azab.
Wow, man.
You see that? One nation was destroyed, right? You know, for these small little sins. For lying. For israf. For extravagance. A nation was destroyed. And nowadays we are doing so much extravagance that people are dying of hunger and we are doing israf in our food. So with all of this, sins that are going on, and we are inviting Allah's azab, but still Allah's azab is not coming. There's no azab. You see, we all are doing it. We all are responsible for trying to pull the punishment of Allah down to us. Allah, you know, every time we sin, boom, there should be an azab that comes and destroys us. But it's not coming. So why is Allah not sending azab? Yeah, my friends, just one thing I want to see. I want you to understand this. One ayat, Allah has explained this. One ayat, Allah explained why He doesn't send azab. He says, وَمَا يُعَذِّبُ اللَّهُ. Allah does not send azab. The first thing, Allah does not send azab on a people or a nation. Allah doesn't send azab on the people. When? وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Ya Rasulullah, if you are amongst them, there is no azab that's coming. If you are amongst them, I cannot send azab. Obviously not. It's illogical. Why? Because He is rahmatan lil alameen. How can azab come when rahmat is here?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allah's azab cannot come when the rahmat of Allah exists in this world. When the mercy of Allah exists, Allah cannot send punishment. So that's one thing. Right? Allah's azab does not come when the Prophet is here. And the second reason again, وَمَا مُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And Allah does not send azab as long as they are doing istighfar. As long as istighfar is being done. So my friends, two reasons Allah does not send azab. He doesn't send azab when Rasulullah is here. He doesn't send azab when istighfar is being done. In other words, istighfar is equal to the wujud of Rasulullah. Can you imagine that? What a great fail istighfar is. What a great action istighfar is. That it's equal to the existence of Rasulullah. You see? And now Rasulullah is not with us. You see, Rasulullah is not with us. So now, why is the azab not coming? So the first reason is crossed out. Rasulullah is not with us, he's gone. So the second reason, the only reason azab is not coming is because istighfar is being done. You see that? Istighfar is being done. Now, I come to my point. Istighfar is being done. If Allah's azab, with all the sins we are doing, if it's not coming, it's because istighfar is being done. You are doing istighfar. Muslims are doing istighfar. Wahhabis are doing istighfar. Everyone's doing istighfar. But I ask every one of you, you are mu'min, they are Wahhabis, you know, everyone, all Muslims, anyone who says La ilaha illallah, so every one of you who is doing istighfar, I ask you, can you claim that it's because of your istighfar that the azab is not coming?
No.
Can you say it's my istighfar, Allah's azab? Allah says, whom you istighfar, it's me. If you say that, I'll say you're a liar. Why? Because when you're dead, still there's no azab. When you die, there's no azab. I mean, if it was you, then when you die, the azab should come. But you're dead, there's no azab. It means that it wasn't you. Right? It wasn't you. No one can claim that. No one can claim it's my istighfar, that because of which Allah's azab is not coming. Then if that's the case, then you have to accept the fact and admit that there's someone who's doing istighfar. That there's someone who's doing istighfar because of which Allah's azab is not coming. That's why you have to accept that the Imam is making istighfar for you. It's his istighfar. Your istighfar is for sins, but his istighfar is so that the rivers can flow, so that the rain can come, so that the ground can grow. His istighfar is making life going on earth. I'm still not finished yet. Now I want to prove to you who the Imam is. Who is the Imam? My friends, everyone on earth, everyone on earth, when he sins, he's inviting the azab of Allah. Everyone, all of mankind is inviting the azab of Allah. Now do you understand? Everyone, we, mushrik, kafir, munafiq, everyone is inviting the azab of Allah. They're pulling the azab of Allah down. You see, all of them are doing it. All of insan is doing it. In other words, Imam, who is the Imam? Understand who the Imam is? Imam is that person who is stronger than the rest of humanity. All the rest are bringing the azab down. He is the only one holding it above the earth. Now you see, one Imam is greater than all of mankind put together. All of us put together. That is who the Imam is of the time. Who the Imam of the time is. So if he comes and he is going to rule the world, now you understand who is ruling. Right? He's greater than all of us put together. And what we are all trying to do, he's the only one stopping it. His istighfar is the only one stopping it. Imagine that power that he has. Imagine that power he has. That's why when we remember his birth and we be there, we just have to know his ma'rifat, gain his ma'rifat so that we can be with him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right paths. Give us the wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.